Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 289 of Her, the podcast where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her childhood, and how much that can affect you once you grow up. Yeah, this is going to be a really deep and wonderful conversation with a really special person. We have a terrific show. Before we begin, know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your first reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because I love listening to your feedback. Period. That's it. You'll get another reminder a little later on after the episode.
Her, the podcast,
the naked truth about women,
her mind,
her body,
her life. It's all about her.
All right, everyone. So I'm reading the New York Times and trolling for some really good ideas here. And I'd love to be able to read some of the op-eds and blogs. And there it is. Family, childhood, trauma, and healing. Huh. All right, you got me. I read it. It was an absolutely beautiful, thoughtful editorial about a very personal journey that led to something much bigger. And so I am absolutely honored to have the author of that blog, Grace Chang, on with us. She went on to found Cherish, a learning community for parents who want healthy, happy relationships with their teens. She has a master's in education from Stanford and an MBA. Oh my goodness gracious. And she's worked with McKinsey, Techstars, and she is absolutely passionate about teen mental health based upon her own work, her own experience, and now what she's doing with this fabulous website. Grace, welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Pam.
I mean, seriously, I'm a stress physiologist. I learned about something that you did, you learned about as well, quite some time ago, and it was called Adverse Childhood Experience, or ACE. And that there is an actual test you take. It's a little quiz to see what your ACE score is. I've had the pleasure of actually speaking with the creator of the ACE research work, Dr. Vince Felitti, when he was at Kaiser, and have followed this for a multitude of reasons because of my own research work in the fields of addiction as well as mental health. And when I stumbled on your fabulous blog, it just reactivated everything in my head all over again. And I thought the way that you described your own experience and your journey was articulate, compelling, compassionate, and a real mind blower. And I wonder, Grace, if you could share that with everyone here at the Her Podcast.
Yeah, of course. So I first came to know about the ACE test actually at a workshop. And I was at this workshop because it was about family healing. And so, of course, I was piqued. And they were talking about how basically people with high scores on adverse childhood experiences often go on to lead families and pass these on, pass the ACEs on to their children. And I was blown away. I was like, wow, that's my family. I grew up hearing the stories of both of my parents who came from different but similarly challenging homes. My mother's father was an alcoholic, was a gambler, would beat them and her mother. And so there was a lot of things going on there. So she basically grew up with her mother raising four daughters, and this is in Taiwan growing up. So that was quite a big deal, right? People wanted sons and people wanted healthy families, and divorce was very unlikely at that time. So they were together, but basically her father was away almost all of the time. And my father's side of the family, they came over after the revolution in China. And so they were essentially refugees escaping to Taiwan. And so my father grew up in that kind of family environment with a single father and basically was kicked out of his house when he was 12. So he went through a ton of childhood trauma as well. And their big goal in parenting my brother and I was to give us this whole childhood, a happy family, et cetera. And yet, something weird happened. They tried so hard, but as a teen, I experienced a lot of depression and anxiety symptoms that I quite frankly needed professional help with. I didn't get that help until I was in college and learned about wellness as a topic for the first time. I took my first psychology course and was just, wow, there's good research out there and we didn't know about it. And basically in my work with teens over the last 10 years, I've watched that story replay. So many families come with their own wounds and we don't talk about them, we don't heal them, and we pass them on to our children. And because that's not part of the normal family dialogue, it's really hard to heal these wounds by ourselves. And the few who do and break that cycle have a pretty big responsibility to come back and help other families along. And that's really what I'm hoping to do with Cherish, is put together over a decade of research into wellness, family healing, how to build meaningful connections, and trying to pass that on to families.
What happened in your own family in terms of healing?
Yeah. So I didn't talk to my mother for a few years in high school. That's how bad our relationship was. And she was always really drawn into her own work, whatever it might be, even though she was a stay-at-home mom with me. I never felt like she was there. She never told me she loved me. I cannot remember a time in my childhood when she hugged me. And I remember my first hug, it was in college after 2 years of seeing a therapist myself. I was really lucky to go to a university that had those resources for free. So I saw a therapist for some time, started unpacking these things, learned some mindfulness tools like journaling, yoga, literally meditation, and practiced that. And it took 2 years for me to feel anything. And I remember I was sitting in the car one time and, you know, the usual was going on. My dad has a very explosive temper, or used to, and he was going off about something and I was doing my usual, I'm about to dissociate. And then I felt a calm. I took a deep breath, followed my breath, and put my mindfulness skills to use. And that was the first time where I'm like, wow, there's something here. And I decided later that year to share it with my mother when I was visiting for the holidays. And I told her, look, I didn't even describe it as a therapist. I said a counselor. I'd been seeing a counselor and they taught me some skills, and she was appalled. She was really upset with me. Why would you go see a therapist? And, you know, is something wrong? Did something bad happen? And I didn't have the courage then to tell her, well, a lot of shit happened in my childhood, excuse my language. And it kind of went from there. That was the big opening of the box, so to speak. And then slowly I would sprinkle in, well, my therapist helped me learn this. And well, have you thought about how that might have influenced me? And what's unique about this is my brother is much younger than I am. So he was just entering teenhood as my mother and I were having these conversations. And he really struggled with a lot of different things, academic, socially, his weight. And my mother basically was looking for a way to help him. And kind of by the luck of the universe, she put these two things together, you know, that her daughter was getting help and it seems to be very interesting. She has a son who clearly is struggling and needs help. So she started reading a lot of the literature I had suggested to her, and the work of Virginia Satir really spoke to her. And that body of work basically describes a family as a system, right? So if you change one node, one person in this family, everything could change for the better. And so she started going to these workshops and trying to learn from practitioners in Taiwan about the Satir model. And it really, really made a huge difference. And in fact, she is now leading a nonprofit helping thousands of Asian or actually Chinese speaking families learn about family dynamics, about mindfulness, and about having healthy conversations at home.
I love it. And you must have been relieved. I mean, how many families do you think, I mean, what percentage of families really take to this whole healing process, or how many of them just sort of run the opposite direction saying, I can't deal?
I mean, too few is my opinion. I think, one, there's just not enough resources, right? Having access to workshops and therapy is a luxury in the first place. There's so many places in our country and the world that just don't have that kind of access. And let alone practitioners who are familiar with trauma, with intergenerational trauma, that's even more rare. And so I think families run the other way because it's unfamiliar and they're just, quite frankly, aren't good resources to help them.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, speaking of resources, you know, I'm looking at your wonderful website. And remember the first time I saw it, I was like, whoa, where was this when we all needed it? You know, here you have say hello to your personal parenting coach. Expert advice for modern parents. Learn to build a healthy and connected relationship with your teen through unlimited text-based coaching and curated insights. Tell us about the app. I mean, there's some really cool things with this app. So tell us about it.
Yeah. So there are three big ways we're helping parents right now. The first, as you pointed out, is the curated content, right? And we go for bite-sized, actionable content. And when I say bite-sized, they're literally a couple of minutes to read at most. And they always end with a try this or reflect on this. And that content is curated based on what the parent is working through, what challenges they're working through. Or sometimes it's age-specific, right? Teens have very different developmental stages, and we try to help parents understand what's happening to their brain at this time, what's likely happening socially at this time. So it's all curated based on what's going on in that parent's life. The second way we help is we have one-on-one coaching with an expert, and it's delivered through messaging. So you can text your coach whenever you'd like. And this coach is sometimes a practitioner, as in a therapist or counselor, if you requested one, but other times it's actually just an expert in a field of parenting that's relevant for you. And we did that by design, right? Not every family needs to see a therapist, but every family probably needs some sort of help. We field questions from, like, what is the average screen time of a child at 15, all the way to my child is addicted to drugs and I don't know what to do, right? So it's a huge scale of problems, and we try to have counselors at each of those points in a way that fits parents. And the third thing that we do for parents is we form groups for parents to meet other parents facing similar challenges. And the idea here is that they can support each other, they can commiserate. Some of the groups are facilitated, so people can join those groups and know that there's a coach there able to provide them with interesting resources on the topic they've joined for, and sometimes reflection prompts to discuss together. So those are the three things we're doing now. And we're developing that into an app so that it's available for all families.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. There's one little thing you have here, which I thought was really cute. Wait, what does WAIT mean? And why is this so important on the app?
Yeah, so that's an example of one of the exercises. So that would be a content piece we have. And that's an exercise, actually. So it explains what WAIT is. And it's an acronym to remember, why am I talking? So it's supposed to be used when you're in the middle of a conflict and your teen is saying something like, you just never understand. This is the point to wait, right? And think about, why am I talking? What am I trying to do here? Am I trying to build a closer relationship with my teen? Am I trying to convince them I'm right? Or am I just trying to look helpful? So this is a point to pause and reflect and add some mindfulness to this experience. So that's what we describe. And then the rest of the exercise goes on to reflect, right? It thinks about one past time where it didn't go so well, and you might have wanted to try this exercise of waiting. And it does a sort of what I call contextual learning, right? It plans a future time, and this is scientifically based, right? We're helping our brain develop a view of what we could do in the future. So we ask them, when do you think is the next time you're going to have another heated discussion? Most parents can name one. And then we say, okay, and when it gets to this trigger moment or word, can you wait? And this is one of the ways we design our activities to make sure that it's actually creating behavior change versus you read a great knowledge nugget and now we forget about it.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And then there were some other pieces here. The isolation-induced depression during COVID. Is my teen at risk? Wow. And so tell us how this could be helpful.
Yeah, so we try to stay very timely in terms of what parents are thinking about. So that was something at the start of COVID shelter in place where a lot of parents were worried, is my teen going to be okay socially? They seem to be either more agitated than usual or quieter than usual. And so a lot of parents were asking, is my teen okay? Is there anything I should do? How do I know the signs? So we basically put together that knowledge piece. It's again a content piece where we think about what are the major signs? And we talk to our experts about this. And we put those signs together into kind of like a checklist or a quick survey to help parents kind of score how their teen is doing in case that they need extra help. Then the parents know and know how to seek help. And if they don't, they can reach out to their coach in our app to seek that help.
Do you ever use the ACE itself to help parents and teens understand where they are with stress and all the rest of it?
Yeah, we currently don't, but we're working to incorporate that. We're working to build a couple of different self-diagnostic tools for families, one including the ACE, right, to understand intergenerational trauma, and other ones to understand parenting style, for example. These are very common tools used in the literature, and there's so much follow-up research about each of these tools that it's a really wonderful way for parents to just get a sense of where they are and what they might be able to do about that in order to help their teen. The reason why we've not implemented it yet is we're developing it in a survey, like a quiz form, and we're validating that to make sure it's actually accurate. And these are big topics to tackle in the first place. So we want to make sure we have a robust set of information behind it to help parents should they find that they have high ACE scores, for example, or that they're one of the less effective parenting styles. We don't want to leave parents high and dry. So we're developing that content before we release this.
I love it. I love it. You know, for a lot of people out there, let me just sort of run by what actually happened with the development of the adverse childhood experience research. You know, when Dr. Felitti was at Kaiser and he actually discovered this, it was all by happenstance, interestingly. He was actually looking at the health and well-being of a very large cohort of thousands of people at Kaiser, you know, asking the usual questions about, you know, like alcohol use and, you know, exercise and nutrition and blah, blah, and all the rest of it. And he just decided, for reasons I found to be fascinating, to ask about adverse childhood events. And he just put it out there. And I think he was just curious to see in this very large cohort what would happen. Lo and behold, of all the questions he asked, it was those that were by far the most compelling. What he found was that, good grief, that 1 in 3 people who had been questioned actually had a higher than normal ACE score. And that this was so much more ubiquitous and that it penetrated our lives in a much, much higher level. And no one had fully appreciated that. Then when they started, when research really started being generated from this initial finding, it was found that if you have a higher than normal A score, and clearly it's a linear relationship, the higher the score, the worse everything is, they found that, you know, everything from addiction to suicidality to depression to lower productivity at work to obesity. I could go right down the list, smoking, addictive behaviors. Oh, my goodness. Everything falls apart because it's very, very important that people understand that when these things are taking place, they're taking place during an exquisitely formative time of a child and a teenager's brain life, as it were. the frontal lobe, which is the CEO of the brain, which helps organize, strategize, plan, rein in impulsivity, et cetera, et cetera. That part of the brain does not finish being fully developed until the age of 25. So anything that happens prior to that is really going to impact upon that development. We now just have, I just saw a new piece of research that just came out, that if a woman had a higher than normal ACE score, that when she entered menopause, that her menopausal symptoms were 10 times worse. Who knew? It's sort of like, it's just one of those things that sort of follows you. Clearly, to grab people early, to help prevent any of this from happening in the first place, to be able to treat it appropriately, will help. And this is why when I read your wonderful blog in the New York Times, I was like, oh, thank God, a fresh voice in all of this. And looky here, some technology and some coaching to be able to help parents do this right. And so, oh my gosh, I'm just loving this. So this is why I reached out, because it's that important. And I think that, you know, your say hello when you open up to the ACE score, I think it's really going to impact a lot of people's, their ability to be able to cope with all of this and to be further informed. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And there's just so many good studies. So beyond the ways that our ACE scores impact ourselves, they impact our children. I think when parents understand that, they're even more motivated to change. I think that's one of the things that stopped me when I was younger. People always said adults don't change and, you know, they are the way they are. And I just don't believe that. I've seen too many parents change to believe that anymore. So I'm really excited.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big deal. I'm sorry, but this is a huge deal. And yeah. The other thing, too, is people say, oh, ACE scores, things like that. Oh, that's just for people who had, like, severe trauma, you know. And, of course, if you had severe trauma, mm-hmm. your ACE score is through the ceiling. But you know something? Verbal abuse,
yeah.
bullying, when you feel abandoned and neglected, when love is withheld from you, excuse me, that counts. And it follows you, because that's what happened to you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And there's a shocking statistic that almost half of children in the U.S. have at least one ACE, one adverse childhood experience. And it's exactly as you described. It's in three categories, right? Physical neglect, emotional neglect, and household dysfunction, sort of termed generally. But yeah, it's so common. And I think you pointed out a really good one, that verbal abuse, emotional neglect is not typically seen as traumatic, but it is a form of abuse that can be just as impactful as physical abuse and sexual abuse in childhood. These are all very formative. And there's even studies showing the brains of emotionally neglected children, and it looks very different from that of a child who has the warmth and support they need.
Oh, there's absolutely no question about it. Here's the good news for you. Between you and me, I would love to see up on this website, where you have home, blog, contact, and all the rest. I put science, the science.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then just put the ACE thing and what they found and da-da-da. And really, if anyone wants to, they can just Google adverse childhood experience, and there's a fabulous website that has all the research, and it shows some really cool infographics that are summaries of everything that is associated with a higher than normal ACE score. And it's just extremely important that people understand this. Most people have never heard of this. Most people have no knowledge of this. They really have a stereotypic vision of people, the only people who really have an issue are people who've had a horrific experience in life. A building fell on you, you know, just bad stuff, you know, huge, severe sexual abuse, and on and on. Again, all of that's included in the ACE, but I'm someone who's raising my hand and saying, wait a minute now, bullying, yelling at kids, demeaning them, abandoning them, withdrawing love and support, never touching them. Excuse me. All of that has profound physiologic effects on the mind, well, the brain and the body, and this will follow you for a very long time. This is why it's important for parents to be fully informed that they don't, you know, if they themselves had this, not to repeat the cycles, because it's very easy to do that. And at the same time, you know, it's important for kids to, basically for people in general to know that their childhood experience and teen experience was exquisitely influencing who they are, how they define themselves as an adult. How did you cope? You know, how resilient are you today, knowing where you came from? You know, and you and I both know, Grace, that you could have one same experience and 10 different people in the room, you're going to have 10 different takes. And that happens for a lot of reasons, you know, genetics and on, but you're going to have 10 different takes. You know, one person says, you know, I got over it. And they really did. They kind of moved on. Somebody else, it literally defines their life. I was talking to a patient a number of years ago who was 56 years old. And she looked at me and she talked about the divorce of her parents at the age of 5 as though it happened yesterday. She just never let it go. And it defined her. And she wore it on her sleeve. And it's like, whoa, wait a minute now. we have to redefine this whole narrative so that it's a healing narrative, not one that's a, you know, 1,000-pound burden here. Does that resonate with you?
100%. And that's exactly it. We can't prevent trauma from happening. Sometimes bad things happen, that's life, but there's a lot we can do in terms of having protective forces around a child, in terms of helping them cope after something bad has happened. Those are usually really good ways to help people move on for good from something instead of, like you said, carrying it with them for decades and decades and propagating that onto the rest of their family and friends. So 100% resonates.
Where do you see your website going? You said you're going to be adding the science and ACE. Give me a future vision here. Where are we going with this?
Yeah, our future vision is to be the place people go to for information about how to help teens. So not just parents, but all of the adults around a child or a teen, rather, who want to support this child can come to Cherish for information. Like I mentioned just now, having protective forces, one of those big ones is having one trusted adult that you feel loved by. And that's actually all it takes to improve so much of the coping mechanisms. And that's what we hope, is that we can provide every teen with at least one loving caregiver who is an adult, who can be a great role model for them. So Cherish will be expanding into workplaces, into school partnerships, into other health institutions to basically make this available everywhere for all adults who come into contact with a teen at all.
Oh my God, I just love that vision. If you need any help or support, give a shout out to me, and I am more than happy to support you in any way I can. I just love this. Absolutely. Everyone out there, we have been talking to Grace Chang. She has founded a wonderful website about all things parenting teens in a more optimal and informed way. And it's called Hello Cherish. So it's HelloCherish.com. Please run on over to that website. Grace, I can't thank you enough for coming on the Her podcast and sharing your wisdom about adverse childhood experiences and a solution for those people out there who are parents today who want to avoid creating these experiences, for being a better parent, whether they're an actual biological parent or not, just somebody who is caring for and cherishing a teen, and then your wonderful vision. Well done indeed. Well done. And I thank you, Grace.
Thank you, Dr. Pam.
Awesome. All right, everyone out there, I love this. Please run on over again to hellocherish.com. Scope this out. Just love it. Now take a moment right now to hit iTunes and rate and review the show, because I'd love to hear from you, because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Her Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek, or Twitter at Pam Peek MD, or Instagram at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Her Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. Stay safe and stay well.